Oh, good day, everyone. Welcome to the Life Investigated podcast on this July the 24th, 2024. I've titled this podcast Martial Law, The Internal Invasion. And then down in the subtitle, you will see where it says dreams. Are they real, prophetic, or just gibberish? So I want to speak to you this morning of a dream that I had just really a couple of hours ago, maybe 5:30 this morning-ish, as I was awakening. Usually those dreams early of the morning as I'm starting to wake make more sense and really have more foundation and seem to have more validity as to what I'm speaking of coming into reality. So here's the setting. I was at this older town. When I said an older town, it was just a standard town that you might see throughout Appalachia. Where there's not been a lot of modern invasion to it as far as the architecture and things like that. And there still are plenty of towns like that around. And that's where I was at. And apparently I had been hired either by the local government or the federal government. I think it was probably the local government had contracted me in my security company to come and do some type of security or protection for the town during a period of time, et cetera. I know that's what I was there for. Doing a pre-site survey of some kind. I'm not really sure about the rest of it, exactly what I was supposed to be doing or why. But anyway, my wife had apparently come with me, and we were kind of like at this, maybe an Airbnb as a house. It seemed like it might have even been a farmhouse, and it was on the edge of town. It was, kind of almost like out kind of in a hayfield, but not at the same time. But it was really close proximity in the town also. And apparently we were there looking for living quarters. I don't know if it was the both of us looking for living quarters or if it was me looking for living quarters and she was with me. But anyway, long story, there was an interstate close by and then there was a mall close by. So we'd got out on the interstate and we'd driven separately for some reason to the mall. And we were there and my wife got engaged in this conversation with some lady at one of the little restaurants or, whatever those inline stores are, not inline stores, a little booth in a mall, some kind of food shop or something. And she was talking. I said, well, look, I'm on deadline. I've got to get back to do something to the little mini headquarters that it was at there, the Airbnb or whatever. I said, you can find your way back, right? And da 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 da. So I left and came back to that Airbnb. I'm calling it Airbnb. I don't really know. But anyway, so I get ready to leave the Airbnb or the place where I was headquartered at and was getting ready to go downtown to where I'm assuming the town council or the mayor or somebody in leadership was there. There was something that wasn't suiting me, whatever that was, I don't know. But anyway, I was going to go in and have a face-to-face meeting with this guy. Well, I started out in my truck and it was kind of a uphill climb. And all of a sudden my truck just shut off. No electricity, no anything. Boom. I mean, it's dead. No pre-indicators of a mechanical malfunction or anything. Boom. There's no electricity to it, nothing. And I'm coasting back down this slight hill because I have no control. All of my electricity is gone in the truck. So I'm trying to steer it manually and trying to brake manually. And that doesn't work too well, especially when you start getting some speed in a vehicle that is designed to have power accessories. So as I was coming back down a hill, kind of somewhat out of control, I could see behind me there was a parking lot that looked like it was maybe going into a public park, but there were cars and I seen some cars in there. So I didn't want to slam into that. So I got down, there's an intersection, and I was able to maneuver the vehicle into the intersection to the left and kind of back up that hill or back up that street a little bit and got it stopped. Well, you know, I get it stopped. I've gotten part. I'm sitting going, I'm trying to start it. Well, I noticed to my right, there's the power companies there. There's a bucket truck there at two or three. There's two or three power poles there, as a matter of fact. And I thought, well, what? Why are they there? And anyway, so there was somewhat of a knoll there to where the park was, and I couldn't see who was in the park or what was going on, but I could hear what was going on. And it was apparently a revival meeting going on. A lot of praise and worship music coming on. And although I didn't see anybody, I made the conclusion that this was a African-American or a black church that was down there worshiping because of their style of worship and the beat of the music. And you know, I'm not being racist in any manner. We, you know, no white guy's going to get up there and sing and have that beat like a black guy will that's worshiping God. That's just cold hard facts of it. And because I can promise you, no little white girl singing through her nose this canned modern worship music that they say is worship it nowadays is going to make the sounds and have the anointing in it that I was hearing. Just not going to happen. So here again, making an assumption since I didn't actually see anybody, but I've been in a few black church worship services before, so I kind of know what it sounds like. And I could hear the preacher. Well, when what had happened, what this power company was doing was turning the power off. And the amazing thing, when the power went off, I could hear, you know, all of their electrified sounds just went muffled. And then the other amazing thing, when the power company cut the power at the pole, my truck started back up. But anyway, I can hear who I'm assuming was the pastor or the evangelist that was leading the meeting. His voice came out over the hillside as if it was electrified still. And I heard him say, I don't care. Excuse me. I don't care what you do. You're not going to stop me. And I thought, all right, brother, that's I appreciate the man's dedication here to what he's doing. Well, so by the time I processed all that, here comes three pieces of heavy equipment just barreling down the road. Now, this wasn't ordinary heavy equipment. This was some turbocharged heavy equipment because they were moving fast, and it was not like any heavy equipment I'd really seen. Number one, instead of being painted caution yellow or something like that, they were all solid black. They had a lot of chrome on them. And the operators had solid black suits on and solid black helmets on with face shields that were shaded out. So first one come down, I mean, and these things were not like normal heavy equipment, even though they were somewhat designed like heavy equipment. The first one was designed like a bulldozer, a turbocharged bulldozer, if that makes sense to anyone. And he comes straight down in front of me to where that public park was, and he put his blades down, and he just tore up pavement, gravel, grass, and all straight into that park and completely obstructed the entrance to that park where those folks were down there worshiping. And just like that quick. It backs up, the turbocharged dozer backs up and starts coming towards me. And I'm thinking, well, you know, he's getting ready to hit me. Well, he swerves to the left of me and goes around me and then is going straight up this hill to some destination that seemed to be very important for them to get to. The second piece of equipment that come by was a dump truck. Again, black, turbocharged. It wasn't a huge dump truck, but it was a dump truck. he comes at this extreme speed, comes in sliding around me. I almost hit me. You know, I'm kind of dumbfounded sitting here, but I can't really go anywhere either. Gets by me. The third piece of equipment was like a backhoe, one of these. The vehicle that it was attached to was like a supercharged all-terrain vehicle, but yet it had a backhoe on it, backhoe type device on it, like one of these little single standalone backhoes, you know, miniature backhoes you could rent to clean your ditch out or something. The backhoe part of it was just like that, but the vehicle was bigger and it was like an all-terrain vehicle and turbocharged. But instead of having a bucket on the end of it, it had this like large pair of shears on it, like you metal cutting utility shears. And as it come around to where the pole workers, the fire company bucket truck was there, and the guys were still there standing at the pole up in their bucket truck, seeing the same things I'm seeing, going, what in the world is going on? And this guy slings his bucket around, or his clippers around, and just clips like a half a dozen power lines at one time. Boom. Fall out. They caught one of them, fell and wrapped around one of the workers in the truck and almost took their heads off. And as he slung back around to come up the hill to follow the other two, he scraped his scissors right along the top of my truck. So I'm out here. Now I'm out here cussing this guy and going, what? So I'm really mad. I was already upset about something before. Now I'm really mad. And I mean, they're gone. I mean, there's no way I can catch them. And I don't even know where they're going. It's just like an abyss of stuff to there somewhere they're going to. So I go back, get truck started back, and I go back into this little town. Now, this little town set across a river, and there was a bridge coming into the town. So as I'm traveling back up to go have it out with this town leader or town council or whoever it was and tell them I wasn't doing their protection detail for them and I wasn't bringing any people in there, my wife calls me and says, oh, by the way, my car stopped running and I'm on the side of the interstate. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go help her, then I'm coming back, and me and this guy, we're gonna go toe to toe, whoever he is. So I go ahead and I come around the corner to go across the bridge. Well, when I get to the bridge, there's this encasement been put around the bridge of like titanium metal and had a roof on it. And you could see it was mechanically interlocked. Put up in a portable thing that was obviously able to deploy very quickly. And on the front of it was sliding doors on a pulley system with aircraft cable, big, heavy, industrial aircraft cables and pulleys, and then chains through the cables and huge industrial style padlocks on it. So you wasn't going across the bridge. If you were in a town, unless you were going to swim, you were staying in the town. So about that time, the mayor or town council, whoever, their headquarters must have been right there. They come out going, what is going on? And I'm like, yeah, I was getting ready to ask you the same thing, Bubba. So the mayor made this statement. I'm calling him a mayor. I don't know if he was. The mayor made this statement. They assured me this was not going to happen. And so when I went on to interview him and said, what do you mean? Who told you? What's going on? Well, it turns out this mayor had knew, and these people on this machine and all, and who it was the government. The U.S. government backed in one way or the other, either legally or illegally. And basically, they'd taken this town hostage or imprisoned everybody in this town. And the mayor knew what was happening. He apparently had some kind of backdoor deal with them, but it turned out to be not what he was expecting. So needless to say, after some things that I won't repeat in my dream that I said to him, and some actions that I did, I won't put out here on media, we're all standing there perplexed. Then I woke up. So as I woke up, after I woke up, and if I'm not saying this is a prophetic dream, but I'm certainly not saying that it isn't a prophetic dream, and has meaning. I you know, begin to seek out what, you know, what exactly is going on here. And that's when I realized for sure that this was a government action, taking a policing action on United States soil. And it was directed from Washington, D.C. This was not an external threat. This was an internal threat. And I tried to begin to disseminate a little bit what it was. And the only thing I could really come up with was a martial law imposition. Either, I don't know whether it was nationwide or whether it was just because, you know, the president can declare martial law. He can suspend habeas corpus. The Congress actually can do the same thing and can activate troops. A state governor can. And you know, so there are different reasons. And throughout history, there have been different reasons. Martial law has been enacted for riots and different things like that. I mean, it's not like this has never happened on United States soil. It's probably been back in the 60s since the last time I forget where it was, Illinois. I forget where the riot was, Illinois or somewhere, that martial law was imposed temporarily in that, not across the country as I remember, but just in that particular area, which it can be. So I know not, but I perceive that this actions was now, for whatever reason, for that town, what the significant was, I don't know. Maybe it just is a type and shadow of normal everyday America that I was seeing in this town. It would certainly represent the normal America that I'm more familiar with. Now, if you've lived in a metropolitan area all of your life, that probably doesn't play true for you, but it does for me and many other millions of Americans. So as I continue to seek out and say, you know, and discern what this was about and whether there was any validity to it, I came to the conclusion there is validity to it, to at least parts of it. And I believe this is going to be similar actions may be taken against Americans potentially even before the election, or certainly immediately after the election. Now, a couple of things on this. Number one, even if Trump gets elected, it doesn't mean he gets to take office. Now, the leftists accused everybody else of doing an insurrection on January 6th. That wasn't an insurrection. That wasn't even a good riot. It was pretty much nothing other than trespassing for some of the people, and most of them, it wasn't even trespassing. Now, this crooked bunch here, this evil Satan-led bunch that's leading this country now, if you think they're going to care about your constitutional rights and give up power, you are sadly mistaken, especially if they don't win. Now, I don't think the Republicans have addressed the issues of voter fraud, so I think they'll still get it because of voter fraud. But even if Trump wins, doesn't mean he's going to take power. Doesn't mean he'll get in there. They've already tried to kill him once, okay? Doesn't mean he's going to get in there. It doesn't mean that this actions will have to wait until then either. So as we see the way the process was subverted in the Democratic Party, and they've taken away their own people's voices and rights and power from their own parties, you think they can't do the same thing nationwide? They can. They've already proven what their model is to the rest of the world by what they've done in their own party, people. Wake up and smell the roses this morning. They have the authority. They are corrupt. So they have corrupt authority that they can do anything with because they're not ashamed to be out in the public and do it. They just lie about it and expect the American man and woman to be so damn stupid that you just go, oh, okay. Now, Harris will probably most likely end up being president before she's ever elected. Well, essentially now with the powers behind her, they've already given her really executive authority already. She'll probably officially be president before January 20th or whatever, when the inauguration will happen next time. probably gonna happen, but she don't even need to be put into the actual position of president to start taking and implementing martial law. And then here's the other thing. Here's the other side of what I'm seeing. Even if Trump gets elected and he does get to take the White House back, here's what they're going to do, because they have spent so much money and got us so in debt to all of these other countries. What they're going to do is they're going to cause an economic crash just as soon as he takes office. My guess is they will, the Antifas and the BLM and Palestinian blah, 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 all just fruitcakes, nuts, and criminals. They'll probably invade Wall Street. They will most likely try to just put their protest up, shut Wall Street down, and burn Wall Street out like they did the Summer of Love out west is probably what they will do to help institute this financial crisis for Trump. So even if he gets there, folks, I'm telling you, for the first year of his presidency, expect a lot of trouble. Expect financial distress. Now, here, I believe it'll, if it plays out that way, that there's been a way laid out to get us back. But I believe the first year or so is going to be really, really tough if that happens. And you say, well, I don't know about all that English. Listen, things are already almost that way. How many of you can barely afford to live and pay the bills that you have now? And all it's going to take is a couple of the conservative media keeps calling them elitist, making the decisions, which, I mean, if we really look at history, it's always been that way. Like I said, this bunch is just so criminalized and has no shame whatsoever. They just don't care who knows and who doesn't know it. And they don't care how far to the extremes they go. The other elitists before in the past at least have had some control about them. This bunch is out of control. You know, an elitist really is. So, you know, a lot of people, they're obviously all very wealthy and very connected, and they have a just a tight grouping of them. But you know what an elitist really is? An elitist is a man or woman that wants to be God. That's their goal. It's not about their money. It's not about what they say they believe. It's about being a God. You know, there's a fellow in the Old Testament that stood up before God and said, I'm the God here. And that dude went out and went nuts. God took his sanity from him for a while, and he went out in the fields and the pastures and ate grass like a cow and grazed for numerous years, actually, until he repented. This bunch, this evil bunch, and I can name names, but that's even real relevant. Unless you've been living in a rock, under a rock, you know I'm talking about. You Democrats know, the Republicans know, and you independents know. Most even school kids know. They're uncontrolled. The power has not been curtailed, and quite frankly, it's almost too late. Now, I know many of the brethren out here are talking about what a revival America's going to have. It's not going to happen. You may see some pockets of things. You will see some pockets of things. But then they turn around and preach we're in the end times. Well, if you're preaching you're in the end times or close to it, then all you got to do is read the Bible to see how bad it is, the end times. You're not going to change. Things I might speak out might be wrong, and there might be variations in things a man speaks. And there are a lot of times. There is no variations in God's prophecies, the ones that he said was going to happen. So we're in a troubling time. All right, you say, all right, now you're making me depressed. No, we continue to trust God. We continue to trust his promises, and his promises are yea and amen. You know, he's always taking care of his people. Now, I'm not saying judgment didn't come, and I'm not saying correction didn't come. Correction may be the better way to say it. We are on a crash course for correction. And all of us are going to have to suffer that correction to an extent. There are ways to prepare for it spiritually, getting closer to God, materially, financially, doing everything you can to store up, you know, money, good investments that's not going to be taken plumb out from under you, having, you know, getting your bills paid ahead. I don't know, being prepared for power outages and communication outages and food shortages. I've been preaching food shortages for a long time now. It's coming. Anyway, there's things we can do. There's a plan in place. The head of it really is Satan, but there's a plan in place. It's being implemented out in front of us. We are living in prophetic times. We've just got to understand that and start getting better prepared for it. I'll see you next time.